This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Gracious God, help us truly to repent, to rethink, to change our hearts. Help us to know that as we prepare a straight path, it is not so much for us to reach you, as for you to reach us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated.
Well, we get along. Yeah, we really do. And there's nothing wrong. What I feel for you. Hang around till the leaves are brown.
When you're not worried about potential dangers, the world can be a far less threatening place. Take the scary out of life.
Who would think that an insurance company would be quoting Isaiah? It's our first reading right there, guys. Take the scary out of life. It's one way of perhaps what John the Baptist was trying to teach. Yet I think with the character that he was, there was a bit of the scary that he seemed to have a connotation of. Locusts and wild honey wearing sackcloth and ashes. I remember when I was stationed at St. Andrew's helping Father Bill, I decided that I was going to do something different. And on the second Sunday of Advent, this Sunday, I was to preach, and I dressed like John the Baptist. My hair was a mess. We put charcoal all over my face. I was wearing a sack, no shoes on. And I was going to come up the main aisle of the church to start the sermon shouting, "Repent! The kingdom is at hand!" to wake them up. The only thing I forgot to do was to tell the ushers that this was the plan. And the ushers tried to throw me out of the church. We're not ready for John the Baptist sometimes. And I think sometimes we're not ready for John the Baptist because we get the wrong idea. There's something about these whole images that we've got with the first and the second reading talking about that there'll be a branch that comes forth from the stump of Jesse, referred to in both the first and second readings. And then John the Baptist himself talking about the tree's going to get chopped down if it's not bearing fruit. Let's look at that for a little bit. Those of you who were at the quiet day yesterday, or perhaps were at the children's school Eucharist on Wednesday, we started looking at the beginning of Matthew's Gospel, which is the genealogy of Jesus. And that genealogy, also called a family tree, is what this whole idea of the root of Jesse is all about. It's about the Jesse tree. It's about Jesus' ancestors. And Matthew, when he starts his gospel, wants to show us that there is a definite plan that God had. And so he goes from one watershed to another watershed and says, see, there's 14 generations. Then he goes from one watershed to the next watershed to the deportation to Babylon when they went into slavery. And he says, look, there were 14 generations there. Then it goes from there, 14 more generations, and guess what? At the end of that series of 14, there is Jesus born of Joseph and Mary. He wants to show us that there's a plan, but there's something else that's important here. If we were to look at the characters who are part of that genealogy, would you believe there are prostitutes? There are adulterers? There are murderers. There are connivers. Now, I would venture to guess, as I told our group yesterday, if you went out on the street and said, you know, Jesus was descended from a prostitute, you wouldn't exactly get a warm welcome. But there's a point, and it is true, but there is a point, I think, that Matthew wants us to understand, that God's plan wanted us to understand, and that is, no matter what the background was, No matter what the ancestry is, no matter what is in your past, God can use that, and God can use that for good. And God can use that for a way of bringing about the presence of the light of the world in your life and in the life of others. That's an important point that I think he makes. So we go on with this root of Jesse idea, and now we come to chapter 3, and there's a huge jump that Matthew's done in his gospel, because we go from Jesus as an infant, and suddenly, boom, 30 years later, and there's John out in the desert. Now, there is this huge jump, and John the Baptist is in all four gospels, but in Matthew, there's something that's really specific. He sort of tries to make John and Jesus more similar. So the words of repent, the kingdom is at hand. Same thing that John says, same thing that Jesus said. That phrase, you brood of vipers. John says that, Jesus is going to say that as well. It's sort of like these cousins of the same family line, sort of like he wants us to say, there's some similarity here in these guys, but they had different approaches because they had different gifts. We know how different John was from Jesus. But I think there is a point here that's important, that if you want to use that same idea of the Jesse tree, John goes out on a limb, just like Jesus went out on a limb. But they go out on that limb using their respective gifts in the way that God calls them to use them. And so too it is for us. We are called. The way that we embody the message of the gospel is going to be different for each one of us because we are gifted differently. Two cousins who are going to have very different approaches, but with the same message. So there's some things that we can look at as when we go out on a limb. Number one, why do we go out on a limb? Because that's where the fruit is. What can encourage us to be daring? What can encourage us to take risks for the sake of the kingdom in our lives, of doing those things with faith that God is calling us to do, is because that is where the fruit will be found. And that becomes an important motivation for us. The second thing is this. If you're going to go out on a limb, you better make sure it's a strong one. You know, when John's talking about that brood of vipers today, he's talking about those who have put their hope in something that's not going to last. Why did you come out here? Just because everybody else is? It becomes a reminder to us, go out on the limb that has the support of God. We all know what's going to happen in John's life, but wow, what a strong character he's going to remain. He had to know that that group of people he's calling a brood of vipers are the same ones who are going to lead to his imprisonment and eventually to his death. But he does it anyway. And then, if you find that there's a limb and there's no fruit on it, well, don't go out there. Don't go out there. Don't go chasing after the stuff that is not going to last. We talked about that in terms of this season last week a little bit. The craziness that's going on. I had to go to Costco last week. I had to pick up one thing for a meal I was cooking. You know what it's like to go to Costco at this time of year? Not the Lantana one, the Boca one. Long lines, self-checkout, one item. There's a lady in front of me. She must have had two cases of wine, but each bottle had to be scanned separately because they were all different. But for her, you had to scan them standing up, not sideways for some reason. She got into an argument and started yelling at the assistant at Costco who was trying to help her. And the more that the person tried to help her, the more irate she got. And the bottles start falling over, and she's afraid they're going to break. It was obviously expensive wine, and she starts to use some words that I won't say here in church. I'm standing right behind her in my collar. Here's a chance to go out on a limb. She turns around to me finally, sees my collar, her face gets red, and she says, "I am really sorry, but this is really a mess here. I hope you don't get upset with me." And I said, "Ma'am, you go right ahead. I've already written 4 sermons based on this experience." All the people around, it broke the tension. There was tremendous laughter. You know, and maybe that lady went out of that store with a little bit different attitude. But there are ways we can do things this time of year that won't be shaking a finger at people, but at the same time can sort of, let's get on with the things that really matter. Go out on a limb. I want to share one other thing today, and that is this. This, for many people, is a very difficult time of year, especially if you've lost someone special, especially if you're unemployed, especially if you are having sickness in your life and your family. The term Blue Christmas is truer than ever. We need to think about this a little bit in terms, I think, of this gospel and this reading. There is a great story in Jeremiah. He writes that I will put my word on their heart. Not in their heart, but on their heart. And there is the story of people going to a wise rabbi, and they say to that wise rabbi, why does he write, I'll put my word on their heart instead of in their heart? And the wise rabbi replies with this. God places the word on our hearts because he knows that someday that our hearts will break. And when our heart breaks, perhaps his word will fall in. Go out on a limb this year too if you're having difficulty. Let the joy and the peace be yours. We get John the Baptist wrong because we think it's all about fire and brimstone and damnation. It's not so much repent and change or you're going to get whacked. It's just the opposite. It's John saying to us, you are not going to believe. If you think I'm doing great stuff, you will not believe what this next guy can do for you and in you and through you. It's like he says, get everything out of your lives out of the way right now because I don't want you to miss the wow that is about to come. So don't miss the wow. Go out on a limb and let the word fall in. Amen.